A very good morning to you. A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A very good morning, my dear listener. Thanks for joining us this morning. Welcome to your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And it's a great to have you this morning, and it's always a pleasure. Thanks for actually choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. So how are you wherever you are finding yourself, this morning? So welcome. It's the 28th of August. The month, the year is 2025. So thanks for joining us this morning. I will be with you from now on until the hour of 10 o'clock. So our time, it's 4 minutes past the hour of 8. And thank you for being with us this very, very, very morning. So my name is Mike Oshoveri, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty here, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of those stories. So thank you for joining us, and good morning if you're just joining us. And if it's your first time actually joining us, welcome. And this is your number one talk radio station. So today is the 28th of August, and let's get to our first segment of the program, which is On This Day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa? There aren't really much significant days, actually. Much significant event taken place on the 28th of August. Well, there are many, but talking about really, really significant, worth of really looking at in the history of Africa, especially what happened on this day. So on August the 28th, 1833, the Slavery Abolition Act received loyal assent in the United Kingdom, officially abolishing slavery for over 800,000 enslaved African across British colonies in South Africa, the Caribbean, and Canada. So this act was a significant milestone in the eventual worldwide abolishing of slavery, and had a major impact on African people under the British colonial rule. So, on the very same day, the 28th of August, 1879, King Cetshwayo, the last great ruler of the kingdom, of the Zulu kingdom, was defeated by the British after the Anglo-Zulu War. So he was actually captured and sent into exile, making a pivotal moment in Southern African history as it ended the independent Zulu resistance to the British colonialisms. So basically, those are the two events. Those are the two events, significant events that we have happened, that happened on this day in Africa. So, and today is Thursday. So what is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day on this day, on Thursday? So the hand that gives gathers. The hand that gives gathers. All right? So the proverb means that generosity and giving to others ultimately leads to receiving or gaining in return. So it conveys the idea of reciprocity and abundance through selfless giving. And when a person gives freely and willingly, they often gather benefits, whether materials, goodwill, blessings, or positive outcomes. So the act of giving create a flow where what is given come back to the giver in some form, emphasizing now that generosity is a rewarding and brings more into one's life. So in essence, the Proverbs encourage a spirit of generosity with the understanding that giving is not a loss, but rather a way to gather more through kindness, relationship, and goodwill. So the hand that gives gathers. So that's our thought for the day, that the hands that give gathers, and hopefully that would help you throughout the day today in the decision that you make, that you become more generous, because definitely that that has a rewarding and it brings more into one's life. So yes, the hands that gives gathers. I hope your hand today will be that hands that gives. So good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So what we can wait today, what we can look forward today or in the program, around maybe in 5 minutes or 3 or 4 minutes from now on, we will be talking to our guest. We have a guest today on the show. And we will be looking at, this is something that's very interesting, something that I always, and these are issues that you actually bring up here, is something that I always want to discuss. The title is that, Are Citizens Seeing the Change? So what we're looking at is, sometimes we hear, I think we live in two worlds. You know, you have the world of citizens, and you have the world of officials. You know, and these two worlds, you know, when sometimes these two worlds live in different worlds, if you like, if you can put it that way. So sometimes what maybe let's say for example political figures and political, you know, representatives, when they speak about, let's say for example, progress in terms of economic growth, the numbers they show, so ordinary citizens may not actually relate to that. We can talk about how when you listen to the numbers of economic growth and relating that, translating that to what actually the struggles that the people are going through, the living standard of the people that are going through, definitely sometimes it doesn't, you know, it doesn't correspond. So I want us to go a little bit deeper into that with someone who understands the economic and also be able to, you know, to share his understanding of this two world. Okay, how do we reconcile this two world? So yeah, please stay tuned. Just in a few minutes, we're going to look at that. So we also go, and this is something that I really want to do because it's very important. Homeowners now protected against home repositioning, repossession. So it's a very, 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 very important aspect. So that we're going to look at that. I want you really to remain tuned, to stay tuned for that because it's very important. Yeah. So, and if we have time, there are other aspects as well that we're going to look at. Who is knocking? Maybe something urgent. Very good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Yes.
Who had it?
Ezorad, who had it?
Let's go down.
Hmm. That is verkeerd nummer.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right. Okay. Yeah, well, stay tuned. We're quickly gonna get into we're going to reach out to our guest and then we get into our discussion this morning. So, yeah, stay tuned. It will be very, very, very interesting.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa zetu Moambo, dengera selma, konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM. Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere, countrywide, to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. Get...
A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, my dear listeners, and welcome to Eagle FM, and especially welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, as I said earlier on, while Namibian political landscape has seen stability, the lived realities for many citizens, particularly concerning their living standards, often paint a really different picture. So we hear powerful pronouncement about empowering the youth, driving industrialization, beneficiating our minerals, you know, creating jobs, eradicating corruption. And these are really good and laudable goals. So, however, when we look at the everyday lives of Namibians, the advancement of these promises isn't always clearly visible. So the disconnect between policy and tangible improvement in living standard is a persistent, you know, challenge for Namibia. And to unravel this complex reality, we are joined by Dr. Omo Kakuyaha Matundu, a seasoned economic analyst, to understand how we can truly, you know, measure the political and economic achievement in a developing nation like Namibia in a tangible, positive change that impacts the everyday lives of the majority of Namibian. So, good morning, Dr. Matundu, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike, and good morning to Eagle FM listeners.
All right. So, Doctor, there is this. I'm going to today. I want to have you on the show, and I really just wanted to speak a number of things, but let's start off generally. So, when I think of, it looks like there are two metrics when it comes to when you have politicians. They're kind of like the politician have. They have their own metrics compared to what citizens actually have. So when it comes to numbers, like, you know, you can hear that, you know, we have achieved this. Let's say, for example, economic growth. So you have numbers that shows that the country's economy is really growing, but then people feels, but we don't feel that. We don't see that in our daily to in our life, you know, in our day to day experience of living. So, in your expert opinion, what is the single most important metric to assess this government, at not necessarily this government administration, but any government, to assess the government's achievement? What is the most important metric to assess the government's metric? I mean, government's achievement.
Yes. Reduce poverty. By this, I mean when kids are going to bed with full tummies, that is, not going to bed hungry. Mm-hmm. Now, let me quickly just, before that, in 2 minutes, put some context to these things and why it is very, very important today to have a discussion of this nature, Mike.
Yeah.
And I think you are a very, very smart journalist to bring this around this time.
Yeah.
When any more handouts from our Western friends, those are the Western countries, your U.S., Deutschland, Germany, UK, and the like.
Mm.
When you look at the tariffs, the punitive tariffs, and the whole hegemony that is now pushing for the defense spending, they are no more interested in giving us any handouts. That is, I mean, Africa, Namibia included.
Yeah.
So the Europeans are busy with their own backyard, security in Europe, their own survival. And they have expressly said, if you look at the UK, we are going to cut aid, we are going to spend more on defense, etc.
Yeah.
So, can we now really, really go as business as usual? We are left on our own.
Yeah.
And we should now try by hook and crook to stand on our feet and feed our own people and feed ourselves.
Yeah.
So that is connect. And maybe let me quickly just say this. When you look at, we always create the, from 1 through 6 now, NDPs are not working. Why are they not working? institution that we adopted, or the economic system, if I may say, which are basically supported or hinges on the constitution, which is the neoliberal capitalist system that we have adopted. Mm-hmm. And all the policies, be it NDP 1 through 6 that we have crafted, are based on that. The policies in mining, in land redistribution, in fisheries, mm-hmm. in all kinds of ownership, are based on this neoliberal capitalist system, yeah. which is based on a fake model, yeah. which says that if you have a market system, a capitalist system, and you craft all these policies yeah. Of ownership, what will happen is that there will be what we'll call the trickle-down effect. Mm. So we can't just concentrate the ownership and wealth in the hands of the few. Will give them that power, and then there'll be a trickle down, meaning that the ones, the Mikes and the Omus down here will also get something, and will get them out of poverty. That is a fallacy. That is not working. And that is the path that Namibia crafted for itself since independence. And that is why you are seeing all these wonderful plans that are not working. It is because they don't talk to each other. The neoliberal capitalist system and your NDPs, where you are saying we have to do A, B, C, D, but you don't have the kind of tools, the kind of redistributive, serious redistributive policies and radical economic transformation that will make our people not die of hunger. Mm-hmm. It is so, we hear from time to time from our president, yeah. Madame Netumbo, yeah. that we are too few to be poor. Yeah. Yes, we are too few to be poor, but the wealth is concentrated in the hands of the few, mm. so of the very few. So the bulk of that few, they are basically poor.
Yeah. So
talking to that, thank you.
Yeah. Mm. So then, this neoliberal capitalism system, it limits, no matter how much. Let's say, for example, the plan that we had, the development plan that we have, and also other policies that we actually that we create. Would this be just a futile exercise, or we have to rethink in the way how we do politics, or how would then be able to achieve some of this plan that we actually developing?
Definitely, Mike, we have to rethink the model. Mm. We have to rethink the model yeah. in mostly, as I have said, ownership.
Yeah.
What we have done, because of basing our model on this fallacy of the trickle down, mm. what you are saying is that, okay, if we give resettle or through ALS policies, give or redistribute land. It's not redistribution, it's just giving it to few individuals.
Yeah.
Be it also in the mining sector, the EPL.
Mm.
Is that you are saying, I am going to do these things, but you as government, you don't have the resources in your own hands
yeah.
that you can basically implement those policies with.
Yeah.
Your private sector is so small, you as government, the public sector, which should basically drive in a kind of a social public enterprise kind of style, address the past injustices,
mm.
You don't have the resources.
Yeah.
You can draft those beautiful things. What are you going to bankroll them with? Mm. So what you also do, or what we did by independence, because of this model, we crafted a faulty education system mm. based on our people or our kids to go and work in those few factories. In first, it was basically, okay, government had a little bit of money, then everyone, or we were few educated people, we were drafted in government, and then it dried up. Now, what you want basically is kids who can stand on their feet, but then the system, the education system that you crafted, which was not based on the early child development schools or system, as well as your secondary system. It felt flat. Yeah. Your return on investment of education was almost zero, while the education system was basically, or is the one that is getting the lion's share. So, come to health. It is the same thing. You are having two parallel systems, one that is functional, and that one, the public sector one, that is falling flat. Now, look here. What you are saying when it comes to poverty, we like to talk about kids dying of hunger in Kavango, in Maomaheke, in Ohangwena, etc. But you are not talking about the thousands of people who are dying every day in our hospitals because there are no drugs, there are no nothing. So, this system that we have adopted and the policies that we are pursuing are not working for us. And there is now, Mike, let me just say this and I'll throw it back to you. It is that, well, Namibia made strides in terms of big numbers. If we look at GDP, for instance, it grew, I think, tenfold or so since independence, from something like a mere 10 billion to something like 200 billion or so. So it grew. Yeah. But who is having this GDP? It's foreign companies. Yeah. It's basically just a few. So comes to poverty, you'll say Gini coefficient from maybe 0.7 to 0.58. But when you look at income inequality, it has increased. That is why you see people nowadays, it is either well because maybe of reporting, but also when you eyeball the situation, you can see that Namibians had become poorer since independence. Yes, please.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Okay, welcome back. Doctor, you were being specific when you're looking at certain sectors in terms of health. You've given some example of health. Now, when assessing now a political administration's success, how much weight should we be given to the broader statement of intent? Like maybe you're thinking of now the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan or NDP6 or things like that. How much weight should we be given to the broader statement of intent versus the concrete and reality that we experience in those key sectors?
You are very right. Mike, look, what you are saying is that for instance, health for all, or you are saying that our people should go to, as the president said the other day, public servants should go to public hospitals.
Yeah.
That is a good move. But what you have done, as I have said, because of your neoliberal market system that you have adopted, you have introduced this procurement of drugs for hospitals, for instance, to be tendered and on a private companies to basically buy from the suppliers, which, as I have said, you have created a small elite, very wealthy elite at the expense of the Namibian people. So the intent should be followed by actions. What by that I mean, do away with this kind of procurement and let government procure directly from cut out the middlemen.
Yeah.
Because the middlemen is there not for their own sake, but also to line the pockets of many politicians and bureaucrats.
Yeah.
So if we are honest and our government is honest and the ruling party is honest and intent, as you are saying, they intend to do what they are saying they are going to do, then they will cut that.
Yeah.
And there will be drugs, proper drugs, not ash. They do some fake drugs and pump them into our health system. So then, only then can you say, right, we want to do what we want to do for our people. Otherwise, you will be not accused, but you'll stand in the court of the of the People's Assembly to not blamed but accused of only favoring a few at the expense of the millions and millions of poor taxpayers.
And Namibia has maybe let me go to back something you mentioned earlier on. So Namibia has seen various policy initiatives launch, the Harambe of this world, and as we talk now, the NDP 6 and all that. So we have seen over the years, but how do we then, how do we effectively measure whether these are truly achieving what they say? If we can see evidently haven't lifted a significant portion of the population out of poverty?
Yes. Then definitely, there are two things. One is what we read in the papers, what we hear your parliamentarians, your Minister of Health, Madame Lovidao, you hear from many others, the opposition politicians, etc., bemoaning the state of our drugs or drug supply in our health system. Those are the medicines. Looking at the state of our hospitals, looking at, as you have seen, those small kids saying you have to travel 500 kilometers from Katima to go to the referral hospital to Rundu, then you will say, definitely, we have failed in what we have said we'll do for our people.
Yeah.
Our people had become poorer. So why that is, it is because when we did say the Harambe, which is the acceleration plan of the NTP 5, for instance, while we knew and identified where the wrongs were, like your procurement of drugs for the public health sector, etc., we never changed that. We are still continuing with that. So let's hope and pray what Madam the President Netumbo is saying, that it will be business unusual.
Yeah.
It will be true that it will be business unusual. 100 days is not much to assess the current one. But for the past 35 years, it was basically we were trapped either by default design or by being beneficiaries of that very corrupt and very self-serving neoliberal capitalist system. We had never, or we were not, we didn't have the political will to change that. Let's hope the ex-administration, and by the stride this is now going, it is going to change that status quo, and we are going to see something new and business unusual.
Yeah. So now, when it comes to the issue of, let's say, ownership, okay? So the Minister of Mines the other day is talking, the Deputy Prime Minister as well, is talking about introducing a policy of 51% ownership for local ownership, either company or the government, I don't know. So how do you see this?
Look, Mike, it is not only mining. Let's even go to fisheries, we go to land. You are auctioning your land, that is agricultural land, to outsiders, that is foreign companies and individuals. You are basically having your fisheries in private hands, your mining sector. Now, what you are saying, just as I said in the beginning, if everything it has been auctioned. You have auctioned your motherland.
Yeah.
That is the base of the resources or the resource base that you have basically to try and get your people out of poverty to foreigners and everyone. We could have, but it is not the government's own making. They just fell in love or with the trappings of the wealth trappings of the West, because it was the five principles or the principles of the Western Five, that said you should build into your constitution the protection of private property, blah blah blah, so that we won't take property as well as resources from those who had, which was basically the whites and Western multinationals. But now, this is in a small way to try and redress that past injustices where foreigners had our resources. So, what we are saying is that, or what government is trying to say is that, well, let's share the cake fairly. We know you got the money and the expertise, but we should have a bigger stake because the resources are ours. Okay, then the argument will, where are you as Namibians going to get the money from? Yes. Let's look at what is happening now in West Africa. The West Africans, they are now coming up with a model that we should basically look at. Or maybe we can even look at, today I was Templeson, the guy of the Diamond Empire. I think he died today or yesterday, I don't know. They were talking about the Beers. That what we see at NAMTEP, that is that kind of a sharing of the cake, where Namibia and the Beers are having equal shares in this. So what we are saying is that, okay, we had contracts already with the existing mines, but with the new ones, we should look at the terms. The other day I read in the papers 51 government shares in or state shares in all the new contracts or mining contracts, which is not bad. We should just try to see either way we are going to get that money, or how, in terms of, look, Mike, it'll take you something like 10, 20 years. This company is paying nothing because apparently they are recouping their capital, etc. So for 20 years you are getting nothing. So you are giving them something for free. Now what you are saying is that, okay, we are no more going to do that kind of silly thing. We, from day one, we are all going to be involved. And as you, as a company and your shareholders are getting something out of it, we as government should also get something out of it. So it's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah. Would you see this policy, because this is not just coming from the Minister of Mines. So would you see this policy also being applied in other sectors? Let's say, for example, oil and gas, and also green hydrogen. I mean, green hydrogen as well. Would you see this actually policy being maybe extended to those sectors as well? And would that work? Given, you know, how much maybe the investors would actually put into pump into the country or into the project itself.
Mike, I see where you are hinting at.
Yeah,
it is, because if we go that route and we say, okay, we are going to become masters of our own resources.
Yeah.
Then the West is going to punish us big time.
Mm.
They are going to say, okay, we are going to withdraw our investment from Namibia. We are going to do this and that.
Yeah.
But what we are saying is that if there is something in for them, then they will come.
Mm.
So we should not be scared and afraid of investors not coming.
Yeah.
Investors will come as long as we craft some good contracts.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, the tragedy here is that the person whom you are selling or your resources to is having, is knowledgeable than you, and sometimes is the one drafting the contracts and not yourselves.
Yeah.
So to this end, we should try and see how we can equip ourselves in terms of training our kids to be on top of the game.
Yeah,
that is in NAMRA, in all other sectors, in your oil and industry sector, contract drafting, because what those guys are always saying is, look, then we'll withdraw our investment.
Mm-hmm.
But even with your investment, our people are getting poorer and poorer. What is that?
Yeah.
Mm. So, yes, I see it being extended in oil and petroleum, fishing, etc. But let me also say,
yeah,
it is not only for foreign investors.
Mm.
This whole idea of fishing rights and quota allocations and EPLs to locals,
yeah,
is also not doing us any good, because it's only a small fraction, 0.0 something of the Namibians who are benefiting out of this,
yeah,
while the majority
of our people are going hungry. We have another quick commercial coming up. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financially Included, where money meets access. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion in the country and the continent at large. Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Yeah. So, Doctor, just finish the point that you were making. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. What I was saying is that even when it comes to so-called local beneficiation, it should not be that government relinquishes its custody over our resources to a small local elite,
yeah,
where be it land, fisheries, oil and petroleum, etc., mining are only in the hands of the few, that is, private ownership, and where government is not having stake in the resources. So whether you are a local capitalist or international capitalist, you are just driven by self-interest, and the people won't benefit from that. But Mike, let me quickly bring in this angle, because you were also asking why we have all these wonderful documents and policy documents that are not working. And when the president visited the Kalibesa Rice Project, she said something very interesting. I think it was on the news yesterday evening, where she said, look, I'm so heartrended, my heart pains when I see these things not working. When Zambezi and Kavango is not the bread basket while we are having all these wonderful things.
Yeah.
I think from now onwards, I'll spend more time in this region to see to it that food is produced and Namibia becomes food secure.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I'm bringing that one in?
Yeah.
For the longest while, our ministers, our bureaucrats, EDs and company had been Windhoek based and in offices.
Mm.
They had not been on the ground there to really monitor what is happening, only waiting for the reports. And come the reports after 5 years or so, while we have run down our green schemes, etc., there are no consequences. So, because the lack or has been lack of leadership and real leadership where our leaders are spending day and night. I know they have to be inventive for this and that.
Mm.
But what the president said was, let our leaders be there with the people, be there and see what is happening on the ground rather than just be here in Windhoek and enjoying their air-conditioned offices. But we need really to work. As leaders, we have to show leadership in production, crops, and whatever, education, health, everything we have. And I'm also pleased to see that a young medical doctor, our minister, the other day was visiting hospitals to see what is happening. So that is what we'll expect from our leaders, to be on the ground so that they can see whether things are moving or not moving. Because sometimes we have all those policies, leaving them to the bureaucrats. The bureaucrats, whether they deliver or not, there are no consequences. So I think the tone at the top set by our president will make a difference.
Yeah. Now, looking at the, you mentioned something earlier, not long ago, when you said, look, even when it comes now to local content, we have to be careful because this could be only certainly elite who will actually benefit from that, and then this doesn't actually trickle to the majority of this country. And this is the biggest problem we have in Namibia, the inequality of distribution of wealth, you know. So now, looking at this Namibia trajectory, so what is the most critical shift in policy or maybe approach you believe is needed really for now, for the future success, or how would the impact of that shift be also measured? How would we then measure that?
Yes. One, Mike, of course, is a greater participation of government or the state, let me say the state, not government, in our resources, meaning that you remember the Epangelo project or model.
Yeah.
If it was implemented in all earnest, we could have today had billions to invest even in the oil and petroleum industry, in mining, etc. But we've just paid a lip service to that. So government should be, not government, sorry, the state should be more involved in our fisheries. They should have a serious stake in not only fish core, like a small thing there, as well as a small stake from Epangelo, siphoning and directing diamonds from De Beers to Namtia, etc. But serious stake and well-managed companies, the sovereign fund, that is the Velvetia Sovereign Fund, should be basically well-resourced with rents, that is proceeds coming from our natural resources. In that way, then you will use that money or rents that you get from our state resources or our Namibian or people's resources that goes into the wealth fund, to basically take care of our people and not waiting for the trickle-down philosophy, or that is not working at all, as it creates only huge disparities and inequalities and deep poverty for our people.
Yeah. So now, Doctor, so how do we balance the need for economic growth with social equity and improved living standards of all Namibians?
In Namibia, we are talking about economic growth without employment, meaning that you'll have a GDP growth, even real GDP growth of this percentage of GDP growth of that. Yeah? But what you are saying is that this GDP growth that you are talking about, it is only the cake is skewed towards the minority.
Yeah.
What you are saying is that, well, economic growth won't lead to decrease in poverty if there are no deliberate redistributive policies by the state.
Yeah.
Meaning that the economy can grow at 10%, but that gap, inequality, or if we produce everything in a capital-intensive manner, like in mining, using big machines, etc., not employing our own people, languishing there with unemployment in this country almost close to 40%, between 40 and 50%, then you'll know that the system is not working.
Yeah.
Whether it is going to grow, we are going to celebrate economic growth, but if that growth is without employment, meaning that people are there languishing in poverty because of unemployment, it is not working for us.
Yeah. So let's also looking at the at national debt. There is a debate about borrowing for development versus actually consumption. So how can we distinguish between now smart investment that fuels future prosperity and debts that burden the future generations?
My debt had what we call intergenerational equity considerations.
Yeah.
Meaning that when we borrow today, that debt will be serviced by future generations.
Mm.
And future generations should have something to show for that our parents borrowed and they built infrastructure that we are using today, that is generating good yields for the economy, that had made us wealthy and prosperous, rather than borrowing to buy Mercedes-Benzes, exporting the money that you go and borrow, export that money again to import luxuries in terms of vehicles and other consumption goods. So every penny that we should borrow should go towards the food production, should go towards infrastructure in agriculture, in fisheries, in all other sectors, in education, etc., so that our future generation, who are going also to service this debt, are going to have something to show for.
All right. So, and is there anything else, Doctor, that you would like to, you know, to probably share with us regarding what we have been talking about?
Yes. Maybe just a quick summary of what we have said is that the system that we have adopted does not serve us well. That is the neoliberal capitalist system.
Yeah.
It is just concentrating wealth at the top while the majority of our people are poor.
Yeah.
We have said there should be consequence management where I said our ministers, as our president yesterday said, they need to be closer to where things are happening, where production in the green schemes is happening, in fisheries, in health.
Yeah.
They should have they should get their hands dirty. They should go and sleep in the villages and see and hear from the people. Not only going around as we are now going towards November, towards elections, to campaign.
Yeah.
But let the people really feel that there is leadership that will take them out of where we were and address the asset deficit and poverty that is experienced by the black people in this country.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mike.
No, and we're very happy really to have you this morning. And as always, thank you for actually share your experience and your expertise and shedding light to some of this important conversation that we have in our country. So, and we're definitely going to knock on your door again in the near future.
Thank you to you, and thank you to your listeners. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Very good morning. If you're just joining us, that was Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matundu. We have been discussing, we had been looking at the political systems that probably Namibia has adopted, looking at now how does that help to implement policies and development plans that we have adopted. So yeah, I will be opening up my line now, and if you would like to react to our discussion, our telephone number is 0833-66-091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction or contribution to the very aspect that we have touched so far. 0833-66-091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma. Kodara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. So this is Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. So yeah, we're basically looking at the disconnect between sometimes the disconnect that we see between the policies or the developmental plans that we have created as a country to tangible improvement in the living standards of the people, and we see that as something that is actually persisting. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Eagle FM, how are you that day, Mike?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
Ah, good. I've been packing it as well, then.
You are talking to?
James?
You are say that again?
I'm saying the unpacking.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I've also listened to the president regarding the Kalimbeza Rice Project, which they want to revive. And she have made it very clear. She said, look, for me, Oshkoto, Ohangwena, Kavango, Zambezi, this was supposed to be the bread basket
yeah.
of the nation. They also have made it very, very clear.
Hmm.
Other countries, our neighbors, are doing that. Zambia is doing that in rice very well. Us, we don't know, but where she got my concern is where she said, the president, where she said, the plan was already there. 8 million was put in to do such production.
Yeah.
Some people, then they went to do consultation. What is that? I think there must be consequences.
Yeah.
This one, they must not leave it. This one must be the example. If the Minister of Agriculture is listening, Zamani Kamwe, she must just take these people on.
Yeah.
Money was put, you take it for consultation. So because there is nothing you can show tangible that the money was used for this, because you say, no, we have got a report.
Yeah.
Those people must be. Look, that's why Dr. Sankwasa and the, my brother
Nekunti,
they are doing well. These are the people who should be taken to task. They should pay that back, that 8 million, and we put it into rice production.
Now, actually, now and then, the president should have actually demanded, where, how did you use this money? I need because that. I need that report.
Even the former minister, Mr. Kawanza, Namibia now is coming a culture of consultation.
Yeah.
Consultants.
Yeah.
We are, these people are busy stealing money, life. Eh? You employ someone to do the work. They say, when they apply for the job, they give you a CV that says, I'm good in this and that and that and that and that. Then you employ them. Then they go look for another person who is good, who is better than them or what. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So I think they should pay back that money. That's the first thing the president must demand. Secondly, anything that was not done properly, whoever is going to be in charge must be told and given the time frame. How long does it take to produce rice? We know the period. How long does it take to produce maize? How long does it take to produce beans? So whatever they are going to put there, by before end of December, we need to see how many tons of that crops we have produced. These things of type trying to tell us how you are good at the, you want to lie to us. The time is over.
Yeah.
Agriculture, there is no lie in agriculture. In production.
There is no lie in agriculture, ne?
No, there is no lie. You can't lie that I've visited five cattle,
yeah.
And then you can't show them to us.
Yeah.
There is life there. You can't tell us I've grown five hectares of maize. Maize is life. It has to present itself that I'm growing healthy or whatever.
Yeah.
So there are no lies there. You can't tell us about taking money to the consultant. Your friend, that consultant also must come back, and we must put that consultant into that field, because he told us how to grow the crop properly. Yeah. He should come and grow it for us.
Yeah.
Because the only consultant you need to put in agriculture, is a person who tells you how to breed the animal. Give him one. So he breeds that one for us. But then we take
the consultants, did it come and consult practically, or just a theoretical paper that he presented?
You know, people, they go and copy.
Yeah.
Go and copy. Because the persons who you are calling a consultant, the only thing they learn in school is grasshopper. Look, people came up with these plans of research of Moringa, what it can do for animals. Who is using it? Can you ask me, how many farmers are using Moringa for their animals?
Yeah.
If not, what was that research for? So, the people who have squandered the money in agriculture must be taken to task.
Yeah.
That's point number one. Point number two, the way the doctor was trying to allude, let's first also, what I also call magazine, is the human resource. You see, we don't have human resource. The only thing we look at when we are looking for people, we are looking for people with PhDs. These guys with PhDs, these PhDs are written by others, Chief.
The man, the person with a PhD, looking at the PhD and the person, they are two parallel things. The qualification looks good.
Yeah.
The person, chief, let us be honest.
Yeah.
If qualifications were speaking to the intelligence or intellect of the person, I can guarantee you would have been very, very, very far.
Mm.
But these two things, they are two parallel to each other.
Yeah.
So I think let's develop our human resource. Human resource, forget about only PhD or whatever. Start with semi-skilled. From the guy from the grassroots who is going to plant the rice, the tractor driver, who is going to drive that tractor, the plow, the guy who is going to plow. Let's empower these people. These are the people we need to.
Yeah.
We don't need a PhD person. Because with management on top, management doesn't do the work. Who does the work? That's why you see that 90% wherever you go in a white farmer, white farm, you find black people there. Why don't white people employ other white people? They're going to be a chaos. I can guarantee you, take white kids, put them in the farm, and let them do what the black people do. That farm, it's you write it off, whether you like it or not. Why? Because the skills that are required to look after the animal, these kids might not possess them.
Yeah.
They might have the skills of A, B, C, D, how to read or how to count money. But how to produce the milk, these are skills that align with the people on the ground. And that's why I'm saying, where do we need to go? Let us empower human resource.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So, yes. So that's the only way. We will see that then at the end of the day, we are going to manage all these things. But people must be taken to account. Those who have eaten that money, even that the governor was saying, we are a culture of consultants. Go to any company, non-power, telecom. You have got people who have done power engineering. Chief, they have to go plant, install a solar system. They have to go look for a consultant.
Yeah.
Who will tell you the same thing you know? No, man, let's come to this. This thing must come to an end.
Right.
I think they should come up with a policy or government policy that before you engage any consultant, that consultant must be approved by the Prime Minister's office.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through and for your contribution. Yeah.
All right.
Great. A very good morning to you. And this is Unpacking Today, live, coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And I'm Mike Oshoveli, your driver of this boat. A very good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
How are you?
Great, great. How are you doing?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah, I listened to the doctor. Yeah, he remained one of my best lecturers so far.
Okay. Yeah, so he was your lecturer?
Yeah, he once taught me. Yeah.
Okay. That's great. And
I think I agree with his submission.
Yeah.
There's one thing I think I want to look at from a different angle.
Yeah.
What we are currently discussing.
Mm.
If you look at from 1990 up to now, each president comes and they have their programs.
Yeah.
For the nations. This is what I'm going to do. And it's a pity that each president does not pay much attention to what the other one was trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Everyone come up with their own. Okay, they come up with their own, and the time frame or the time they have to execute their plan might not really be enough. I have a suggestion. Why don't we, as a nation, have a developmental agenda whereby every president that comes, regardless of the political party you belong.
Yeah, but this has been one political party. They should have actually followed the same
Yeah, no, Okay, now this is what I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
I'm saying let us have a political development agenda whereby every president that comes, regardless of your political parties, that is what you are going to implement.
So what you're saying, this is now the country development agenda. It's not a political, manifesto. It's not based on a political manifesto. This is the country's development agenda. Okay.
Yes, the country development agenda. So now
we do that. We do have that.
The NDP. Mm. That one I understand. But that is the issue that we have now.
Mm.
Take example of the president, our late president, Ginko. When he came, he has his own, his focus, area of focus. We now also have the president. She has her focus.
Mm.
We are saying, if we want to achieve a permanent something in our country, let us forget about individual ambitions.
Yeah.
And let everyone that take over that position, he knows that there is a developmental agenda for this nation. I have to put aside what I think is the best for this nation. Mm. And that agenda should not even be based on, it has to be developed by experts in Namibia.
Yeah.
Regardless of where they are coming from. The experts, they say, okay, this is what we want to achieve. And now, when me as a president comes in, for me is to see how I can fit in.
How we can accomplish this?
Yes, how country, we can accomplish
priorities. Yeah,
country priorities.
Yeah,
I think that's the only way. Because looking, judging from what we have seen so far, every president, like now we have our new president.
Mm.
She has her area of focus. This is, and she will try as much as she can to complete that in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
And then the other person will come, they will see where the direction the president was going. Sorry, that's not where I want to go. So it will be like that until Jesus comes, if he will ever come. Don't laugh.
That caught me as a surprise. If he ever comes.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the same song our forefathers, everyone has been taught.
That's a nice one.
But for me, that is the area. So it's if we can start from there, maybe that can help us a bit. Because at least we have an agenda like we have. If you say.
Maybe we need to filter in.
Okay.
There's actually a commercial coming up, and then I can ask that as well. Just hold on.
Okay.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, the doctor was also talking about the neoliberal capitalism system, and in a simple term, he said, well, that the system that we have adopted would also become a problem in the way we want maybe to lift up our communities, our vulnerable ones. So then we need to do something. We need to have a different approach that really speaks to us, and that speaks to our situation in Namibia. So and maybe that's something that we need to really to think more hard, to think so seriously, if we need to really to change the Namibian living standard of our people.
Yes, you are right. No, the doctor said the system we have adopted.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not the system we have adopted.
Yeah.
It's the system we were given.
The system we?
We were given.
Oh, okay.
We don't have a choice. This system we are now is not the system that we choose for ourselves.
Mm.
It's a system that is there, that is designed for us to keep us where we are. So that's why the only country that can get themselves out of this system is those ones that go out, they become rebellious.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't change this system by, you cannot use diplomatic to change the system because it is designed in such a way that it favor, and the interesting thing with this system is that it favor the well-connected, the rich, the people in higher power.
Mm.
This system is working perfect for them. I hope you're aware of that.
Yeah, and the reason why we have a problem of unequal distribution of wealth, inequalities,
is definitely because
of this system.
It is working well with them.
Mm.
With higher people in higher position, politicians, rich people, this system is the best. Therefore, it will be very difficult to expect someone who is benefiting from this system to change it.
Yeah.
It's next to impossible. Because if the president is favored, the prime minister is favored, all the big guys, business guys, top guys, they are favored by the same system. All what they will try to do is to say nice words, but they will never change what is working for them.
Mm.
And by this system, it does not work for the poor people. For us, for the middle and poor people, it's one of the worst system that you can ever have.
Yeah.
And finally, before I give other people a chance.
Yeah.
Just give me 30 seconds to say something about the story of yesterday. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The minister, Mr. Sankwasa, says one of the reasons why he want to suspend those guys is because they trade assets with a depreciating asset. You know, he mentioned something like that in his statement.
Yeah.
And now I'm asking the question, the proceeds from selling fixed assets like land, if you sell your land, a municipality sell their land, can they use that money to buy cars?
So yeah, definitely. If that's a need for the council, yeah.
So you mean the proceeds from the selling of land can be used to acquire cars?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so
I understand. I understand your point. I understand what you're trying to say. And these are the views that I was trying to bring in yesterday to say, look, you have to.
It seems like for me, it looks like somebody's trying. He'll try as much as he can to get a reason to get rid of these people.
Yeah.
And for me, that is because if you can use the same proceeds to get a car, what is so different from me getting direct a car instead of getting the cash? It's the same thing. Unless they were not, the procedures system were not followed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Let us give another chance.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming through and your contribution this morning, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great.
All right, good morning. Good morning, good morning. It is the time for unpacking. Please do come through and unpack the stories that we are discussing right now. So our telephone number is 0833-66091, 0833-66091. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm okay, my brother. That make, I was also listening to the doctor.
Yeah.
I listened to the doctor and he's saying a lot of important facts.
Yeah.
When it comes to our country. Especially when it comes to the system which we are using, which is putting us down.
Yeah.
Michael, you see, the problem I think which we see here is that we have a lot of things good on paper.
Yeah.
But when it comes to practical, it's where the most of us we are failing. And we want to build this country with with theory, not with practical. That's why I'm telling you, Mike, what's so difficult even our government to target the people who are already having qualification when it comes to VTC? To give them, because I'm telling you, to give them what? Capital to start.
Yeah.
Look here now, even the people who have been given a chance are well connected already, because the well connected people are the one who are having what? 18 years old, is already having a company.
Yeah.
But go to the majority of people. Unless you have been working somewhere for you to establish a company. But if you go around now, the people who are getting money. It's just one who are already connected to the system. But I'm telling you, Mike, seriously speaking, I think something needs to be done.
So when you say it's those who are connected to the system, how are these people connected to the system?
It take me like 5 years working for somebody else for me to start my own company, to have my own company. Yeah, to register all the paper and the requirement and whatsoever. Just imagine a 22 years graduate from VTC.
Yeah.
Don't think he's having a company. I'm talking about the funds which are been allocated to the youth.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it will take only the people who are already like in the system. When I mean the system is those one. We are connected when it comes to tenders. Those are already having companies because they already, their father and their cousin and what, they set up them already with company on the side.
Yeah.
And it's what has been happening. If you can see
what you're saying, this have been set up already. They have all the requirement that are needed, and
exactly.
And when we have these criterias that are asking ABC, they are the one who actually meeting those criteria, and someone who come from Ondobe or from Katwitri may not actually have first of all able to develop the company to that level where the requirement is. Is that basically what you're trying to say?
It's what I'm telling you, because now just made somebody from Kangudi.
Yeah.
Kangudi for Kapuamba. And now that person is just finished recently.
Yeah.
Done with a VGC. Now, it's also ringable to apply. But remember the requirement was needed there, all the paperwork. Now this person has to travel either to Enana. And they find, it's a surprise, at Enana, you might find it, there's no number. Paper with the old beeper. Now we have to go to Oshagato and Dangwa and say, you name it.
Yeah.
You see, it's hard. And there's a deadline already which is waiting for you. For you to submit your paper.
Yeah.
You see? This is a problem which we are creating, and we don't know that. No, there's only individual we are trying to watch. To manipulate because of maybe election time. And you know, trying to paint the picture that everybody's, we are all going to be getting a chance. But yeah. Not the way it is. Okay, Mike, let us go to your topic now about agriculture.
Yeah.
You see, Mike, you cannot tell me that you are looking for consulting, to consult agriculture, which we're supposed to produce our own food. To produce our own food, but we have to look for consulting. For what, Mike? If you're already having students who've been doing that, and some of them, they are in the street, as we're talking about, from Nodam graduation.
Yeah, maybe that's something that was, I'm just thinking, something that was, you know, when you come up with a strategic planning, you know, one of that is that you need a consultant who probably will be able to give you an understanding of whatever the case may be. So could have been part of the plan that has been agreed as part of the plan.
Yeah, these things are already set up. Some green scheme have been operating those years.
Yeah.
So what's so hard for them to do? What, if there was maybe vegetable or like grapes and you name it, why they cannot do the same? I mean, to apply the grapes which were been planted in there. Because remember even the people who've been growing there, Some of them are just in the street now.
Yeah. What I'm looking at it, I'm also looking
then they're
at
they're having the experts.
And I'm also looking at on the flip side, where to say we haven't been successful. And maybe the way we have been doing things hasn't worked. Let's bring in some expert, you know. Okay, let's bring in some expert who will then help us, you know, to actually improve our productions. So if the consultant would have helped to improve the production of the scheme, then that would have been well money spent. But if the consultants just come in and nothing happened,
But Monica, you can't tell me that we are spending money on an expert and theory on the paper only.
I don't know what the consultant was. Whether it was a practical consultant or it was
No. It's a theory. It's a theory because there's nothing going on in the ground.
Yeah, I'm trying to play a devil advocate here. So. Yeah, just to say, maybe there's a positive side to it, you know?
But speaking the truth, Mike, living is a hurt. When we spend like money, $8 million, just in a consultant. Seriously?
Mm.
Where are we heading to? And you are talking about even people are feeding what themselves with what? With manjaji and what? Mashige? Malakusha?
Yeah.
But seriously, the food production, we spend $8 million just in consultant. No, man. I think it's hard time.
That's actually, sometimes people need, those are things that really need serious, I mean, we can hear now that $8 million has been spent. I'm not too sure whether, I follow, but I'm not sure whether it was $8 million. But if it's $8 million, something someone have to, you know, seriously say, okay, guys, there's something wrong there, you know, and that should be followed up. And this is where now, what is that? The ACC should come in. Yeah,
exactly.
This is
what you are saying.
Something is not right.
Something is not okay, my friend. That's why we always complain and say, no, seriously, when it comes to ICC, I don't know what is their mandate. Because now they wait for us to report even the corruption. They go to the hold office, then they investigate it forever.
Yeah.
You see? And that's why it will be impossible for them even to find the culprit early, because they investigate it taking so long.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the problem. And anyway, if you check in the Namibian today, we come out, we create what? 200 millionaires in 1 year.
200. I haven't read it now. 200 millionaire.
Yeah, 200 millionaire in 1 year, my friend.
We must That's be amazing. Doing very well. We are doing very well.
Yeah. That's reflected to our economy.
Yeah, we are
even good. Tomorrow, I was looking forward to go and check, look for, to watch the gaming for Churachura and the African Star. Now it's postponed because there's nobody come on board. Yeah. You see now. But we are creating 200. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So that's in this country we are doomed.
That's a reflection that we are doing very well.
For you and me, we know for sure.
So this is exactly what we are talking with them. I mean, that just to be serious, that's what we are talking with the doctor, to say, look, in terms of numbers, you know, of economic growth, you know, we can hear, you know, like now we're creating 200 millionaires. but then, you know, massive population is actually, we have a group that is doing very well. And
the majority are not really doing well.
Actually,
they go home, they go and bed sleeping.
They are doing very well on the other end, you know.
It's okay, Michael. Thank you, man.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Sharp.
Great. So we're doing very well on the other top, on the top end, we are doing, you know, we're doing very well. And the other end, we are doing very well as well, you know. All right. Very good morning to you. This is Unpacking the Day. So
And if you have been following and you would like to have your view, your opinion and your perspective and your contribution, you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 083-366-091. 083-366-091. And basically, I have been talking to, Dr. Omu, Kakuyaha Matundu, and basically we're looking at the, as I said, you know, our political landscape has seen stability, as we said earlier, it has seen stability, but there is a lived reality for many citizens, particularly concerning about their living standard. And we hear, as I said, we hear powerful pronouncement that doesn't just only come from a politician, but it's also, we see big numbers about, economic growth and powerful pronouncement about empowering the youth, driving industrializations, beneficiation of our minerals and all that, creating job and all that. Let's hear what the next caller have to say.
A very good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
We're all right, man. And yourself?
No, we're saying good.
Yeah.
All is fine.
Mm.
Good. So, yes, I just feel that
it's a little bit of breaking up, either whether it's on my side or the line. It started already.
Let me stand still.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead then. Yeah.
I have observed some kind of contradiction.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it is me who is now getting or misunderstanding the real situation.
Yeah.
But if we are saying the most of our graduates from those higher and tertiary institutions are unemployed. Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm listening. Go ahead.
And we are still saying we lack the problem, the challenge is human resource.
Yeah.
Human capacity.
Mm.
Is that not a contradiction? You have people who are graduated and they are still unemployed. Yeah. We have heard of the demonstrations.
Yeah.
I know there are different disciplines.
Yeah.
Profession.
I think you're right, and also I shouldn't say right. I think your point is it's a contradicting in sense, but it's also depending on, as you just said now, there are different fields. We could be saturated in one area, so we could be actually producing the human capital, but that human capital is not relevant. I'm not saying it's not relevant. I said it's not relevant because, you know, there are no opportunity of that skills that we have produced.
If you want, there are also agricultural engineers.
Yeah. No, I'm talking now. I've said one area there.
Yes.
In one area, we could be really saturated.
That's why I mentioned that there are different disciplines, different professions.
Yeah.
Which way do I contract myself? I said there are different professions, different disciplines. You might have people, let's say teachers, for example.
Mm.
But there are also those who are trained in agriculture. One of my learners, I mean, not my learners, one of my people that grew up in my house.
Yeah.
Sister, he studied agriculture. He went to teach IUM. And there are many. So those ones, for example, like teachers, are you telling me that many of them, they have grown up in our homes, we do agriculture there. Now that you have gone to study teaching, you know, teaching, for example, so integrated science, Do you have agriculture there? So let's say now there are people who there's a lack of human resource.
Yeah.
In different areas. Let's say you were talking about agriculture today.
Yeah.
And the doctor was talking about agricultural economy.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what he was talking about. And if that is the area, and the people are produced at the university and all this, even technical, because they are also technical. I'm just giving an example.
Mm.
There are people who are also trained in water, like NAM Water there at Okahanja. So there's a combination of skills that you can bound them together, compound them. And now you now say, fine, because I'm just having a problem. Say, okay, lack of capital, human capital. But we have graduates who are, I think there are just a lot of them.
Yeah.
Maybe we are just not organizing ourselves properly.
Yeah, so if you want, maybe you what you want, what maybe people have to be specific that in a specific sector, we have actually then a lack of human capital in a specific sector, but not generally as a country.
Maybe in those specific sector, those specific area, like I was looking at, some of them are saying the lawyers are few, some are saying the lawyers do not have job, but all these things, and you are also a teacher. Now, why can't you then, I don't know how you can really integrate your skills and coordinate yourself very well. Because I'm just having a problem. You should say, yeah, of course, I know there are areas where we do not have, like in green hydrogen technicians, they are just trying to now give them skill, give them scholarship to do this thing in those areas.
Yeah.
So even maybe in technical fields. But in terms of academia,
yeah,
when you have you are right.
You are right, because sometimes you have people who come here who tell you, you know, even some expert, you know, who come here and tell you, no, we don't have human capital. And you have those who said, we have a lot of human capital.
In specific area.
Yeah, that's why I said
you need to be explicit.
You have to be to say, in this area, I think we lack human capital, we lack skills. But in this area, we are oversaturated, we overproduced. Yeah.
Like in agriculture, do we lack human resource?
Yeah.
Tell me. So you have those ones at New Dam, the Ovongo College is there, and many of those agricultural colleges, even university, Namibia and others, they have all those kind of areas. That's why I'm saying, the doctor was talking about foreign direct, and then direct, foreign direct investment, and you say it's a good thing, and we all know it's a good thing. In the same as the domestic investment.
Yeah.
So now, if we can now say, yes, this is where the challenge is, and the people have identified the funding gap, and now they are making funds available for us, for you. Now, why can't we, I'm just thinking, you cannot say human resource, in such, especially in agriculture that we are talking about now.
Yeah.
I'm just sure that the teacher, because when you are going to teach the children now, bring up your lesson plan, you know that those who have got the integrated subjects, science, physics, chemistry, biology, and all this agriculture, whatever. So you know already that you're going to teach them agriculture. You're going to teach them social issues. So why are you saying there's no, maybe in specific area, maybe you can come and explain and say, okay, this area is where I meant. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for coming through.
Well, time is about 40 minutes past the hour of 9. Unpacking the day goes up to 10. So we still have about 19 minutes left for you to come through and have your contribution to today's discussion. So, and as I was saying, our discussion today, it's really broader. It's not really specifically looking at one aspect. What we were looking at very when my discussion with Professor was actually that disconnect between policy and tangible improvement in living standards of our people. So and really then looking at at different aspect, whether it's the system, political systems, whether it's the policy that we are adopting, and when now it comes to, when are we talking about value addition, beneficiation, all that, where are the challenges in terms of making sure that these policies are implemented, or they have impact. Their impact are actually, you know, felt, are visible, and also advancement of our promises, the promises that we made. How do we make sure that every day, the lives of everyday Namibian is actually, you know, impacted by all this. So, yeah. So those much of the things that we're looking at. So you may come through yourself and have your own contribution on that, or your reaction if you are listening. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So please do come through and have your contribution.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Shikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandi soma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeleha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konora heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
So very good morning to you. So this is Eagle FM and you are tuned in Unpacking the Day. Our time is 44 minutes past the hour of 9. Yeah. There is something that I really, really want to talk to you about. This is it's a story that I really, it's very important. A homeowner now protected against home repositioning. That was actually a new, I don't want to go into it because it's so important, because in 15 minutes or so, I would be able to, I won't be able really to finish, everything that I, this is a big announcement from the Office of the Judiciary. When it comes to, homeowners now being protected against the home repositioning, repossession. So it's information that, that you should know, because it's very important information. I would rather do it tomorrow, having enough time to do that, and you'll be able to come in. Then if I go through that and then, you know, we won't be able to finish that. Yeah, do come through maybe in what we have discussed today, because I deem this very important. It's information that that is very, 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 very important. So I'd rather do that, get into that tomorrow when I can. I know that I can be able to cover everything that we need to cover. So maybe just to rounding off. While you're coming through, or maybe not coming through. So what is other things that I can be able to do? Yeah, no, the other things that I can quickly probably just round off, it's something that I have been always postponing. I bring it up here and never really talk about it. because of, and of course, we value your participations. And, since Monday, I actually just, you know, come with this. And then later on, you know, we didn't find a time actually to talk about it. Yeah. So, yeah, this was, you know, it was it was actually on the, you know, the international conference on Africa development, the ninth Tokyo international conferences on Africa development. You remember that was actually last week. Monday, I wanted actually to discuss this. It's actually an article that's looking at that differently, and it's entitled strategic. Is it a strategic partnership or a fragmented engagement? And the whole what is actually looking at is that, you know, it's to understand that now the whole question of that, okay, he highlighted that, you know, seeing individual, there was this, now you went there as a united Africa, and the whole idea is actually I don't want to use the word fight. As a united Africa, you bring forward a united goals and projects and things like that that would actually make you, as you come 1.3 billion people, you are more stronger than individual. And then now he talks about the red flag when it's come now to United Africa, as 34 people separated, 34 countries separate deal that now each country now. So the article highlighted a huge red flag for many, that the Japanese prime minister held a 34 separate bilateral meetings with African leaders. So, and now he say, think about the power dynamic there. One leader of a global economic superpower meeting one by one with the leader of nations that are let be honest, in a weaker negotiation positions, you know, when now meeting now one by one, you're now in a weaker negotiation position when you are a bigger body. So what now the article is alluding to is this a partnership of equals? Or is it a classic strategy called divide and engage, you know, rather than divide and rule? But is now that, is it, you know, that classic strategy of divide and engage? So, and if you want the best deal, now looking at Japan, if you want a best deal, do you face a united bloc or do you pick them off one by one? So, which actually then Japan be able to do. So, if you and I both know, you and I, you know, both know what is the answer is. So, when you are alone in that room, you might get a good deal for yourself. So, as a country, you might actually get a good deal for yourself or for your country. But is it the best possible deal that Africa as a whole, you know, could have actually secured? You know, and he said, you know, probably not. So, because now, and the other also, and the author also is trying to highlight here is that this is where now Africa's own big dream. So you, you have a dream of Africa, continental free trade area. But now when you go to platform like that, you are not now presenting this concerted goal dream, but now you actually do it as an individual. So this is where now he is, that this is where Africans' own big dreams come into conflict with reality, the reality of individual countries. So, and we're not presenting the Africa continental free trade areas, and also we have the Agenda 2063 as well. So now this is our grand plan for United Africa, or unified prosperous continent, where trading between, let's say for example, between Windhoek and Accra is as easy as trading between Windhoek and Oshakati. That's what our dreams are. So, and these plans depend on us acting as one, you know. For this to happen, we need to act as one. So the analyst in the article put it bluntly. He says, the way it looks, it suggests a strategy to break up a collective African front. And he questioned how these 34 separate handshakes and deals are supposed now to strengthen our single market. So that's the whole idea. So, and this is a powerful challenge. I think that's why I saw that it's a powerful challenge. Are we so focused on getting a new road in our own country or getting a new factory for our own country that we are now willing to sacrifice the long-term vision of a powerful integrated Africa? So it is a tough question for our leaders and for those representing our people in that forum or in that conference. So the article really present a clear tension, Japan's helpful approach on one side and the risk of dividing Africa on the other. So that's what it's looking. And also from when you're looking at it, from realistically being also realistic, is also that, is it even realistic to expect 54 diverse African nations to have one single voice on everything? So already think of the SADC. We struggle to agree on things within SADC already. So let alone the entire continent. I think so. Maybe perhaps Japan approach is just it's just really being practical, and maybe they see the African Union as too slow and too bureaucratic, as mostly this big institution are. Maybe they think so. If we want to get things done, so we need to talk directly to the people in charge in each country. So this is just to challenge the analysis of the author of that article. So, and from business perspective, that might make sense. And actually it might make sense that why wait for 54 people to agree when you can actually make a deal with one person today? But the point of the author is also valid, that how do we then reach the dream of our dream as one continent. So there is an alternative view. There are also alternative view from Japan point of view. This is not it's also not a sinister plot. Actually, it is not that from Japan point of view is to divide Africa. So it's just efficient diplomacy. So if you want things to be done. So, yeah. But the other thing is also, we can go a little bit deeper. Why is Japan so interested in Africa right now? So you can go also beyond that. So the article gives us a clue. So in that article, there was a clue. It says that the plan is to deepen ties between Africa and the Indo-Pacific region. So now that is actually a geopolitical code, you know, a geopolitical code word, the Indo-Pacific regions. When you hear Indo-Pacific strategy, it's often about creating a network of countries to balance the enormous influence of China. So, and the TICAD is not about philanthropy, you know. So it's not just about Japan's love for Africa. So it's part of a global chess game, you know. Japan, along with its ally or with its allies, like the U.S., is competing with China. So it's competing with China for influence and for access to resources and for strategic partnership on our continent. So, yeah, let's see who is knocking just for the last part of the show.
Very good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Come on, the late, last minute. Yeah,
you come for the last minute. Yeah, you have 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, it's about the green scheme.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the people understanding really how to make food available. If we don't have those companies that are making food, it's hard for us into producing and putting those things. And as I rested on the 25, it is the same thing that people are talking about today. That if you look at Zambia has opened its own market in those Middle East countries. I think it's in it's where they are said that they are supplying.
Yeah.
That's what they are producing in Zambia.
Mm.
So first you have to have somebody who can processing those type of foods that you are producing.
Yeah.
But if you are saying the lower the fruit and veg, it can be get rid of even if you are producing a mango and you don't have a mango crash.
Yeah.
You cannot reach everybody.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that we need. In terms of this Japan, you know, Japan is a rich country.
Yeah.
Japan have about hard cash in $4.1 trillion. It's number 5 in the world.
Mm.
So they have to invest. When you have cash, you are investing.
Yeah.
So it's not that Japan is understanding the resources, as I explained on the 25, yeah?
Yeah.
So they know all of this. And it's the same way that Germany is number 3 in the world because of automobile, which is they are investing on the vocation.
Yeah.
And all their young people, they are involving on those automobile.
Mm.
So as we are producing, as I said, we are producing food where we are not having a buyer.
Yeah.
It's the same with our education system. You are graduating people that you don't know where they are going to get.
Where there are no opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, where there are no opportunities.
Mm.
So how many every year you are producing teachers, eh? And you have younger teachers on the ground. So I don't know. Those PhD holders of Namibia who are advising the government, how do they do their thesis on to see the ground?
Yeah.
Even of this advising the 307 to go to the state hospital, how do you expecting now the other pharmacists will be making money?
Yeah.
they were not circulating because the look at the budget of the medication.
Mm.
There are $2 billion, but it's still not enough. If you go in the hospital, you're finding people are complaining about my high blood pressure is not, there are nothing on the stock.
Yeah.
So, but you want again to abandoning that. Are you advising the right direction?
Mm.
No. Okay, Mike, because of the time.
Yeah, because of the time. Yeah, thank you for coming through, yeah?
You're welcome.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen and others, those who may not actually know where they stand. So that's bring us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day this morning. Tomorrow is another day. So let's congregate again, tomorrow. Make sure that you tune in, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And let's do the same again, at the same time. On the same frequency here, on the same radio station, Eagle FM. So, and coming up, it's Kuthamosha with Tate France. And I know I'm leaving you in capable hands. And well, stay tuned, not only for Kuthamosha, but for all the programs that are coming your way this morning. And also this afternoon, throughout the day. So, and for me, let's see each other tomorrow again. So, I'm Michael Chiavelli, and goodbye for now.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the app.